If you take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be here in Philippians 3 probably for the entirety of the month of January here. I like to take this first month just to kind of introduce and set the tone for the new year for our local church. And now as we look at what we have and what God is wanting to do here in this church, in this community, and through our lives, this is simply the thought is press toward the mark. Now it's time to press a little bit. Now it's time to engage and to really put to the grindstone, if you will, or put to task these things that have been built up in us. These things that have been that we've been made aware of. And so if you'll stand with me, if you're physically able, out of love and respect for the Word of God, here in Philippians chapter 3, and I have much more to say about that in introduction about our theme this year. But if you'll read with me responsively through verses 7 through 17, you can read with me on the even verses out loud, and I'll read the odd verses by myself out loud. Beginning in verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." As we consider this idea of pressing toward the mark, I hope you noticed a few things. And again, today is really going to be a little bit of an introduction, because may I just say, there's a lot to unpack here, okay? Really, in Philippians 3, and certainly you can go through and read the entirety of the chapter, and really the book, if you will, and get the general sense of what Paul is talking about writing to the church at Philippi. And you remember, the beginnings of this church, if you read about it in the book of Acts, were quite magnificent. When you have this presentation of the gospel, they go to the synagogue. You know, the same typical thing happens. The people are stirred up. Some believe, some don't. But they, you know, this is where Paul and Silas were basically thrown in jail, and they were really thrust into the inner part of the prison. Okay, and that was just a bad place to be. You know how they responded well to the circumstance. They began singing, I don't know, maybe it was a new year. Maybe they were singing in the new year. I don't know. But they were up singing, and about midnight, God kind of shakes up the place, doesn't he? Sets them free. The jailer springs in, he's about to kill himself. And Paul says, "No, don't do any harm to thyself." And he springs in, and basically, you know, that the phrase I mentioned in Sunday school class, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Right? And they go to his house. They lead his family to Christ. He washes their stripes. They get baptized. And you know, a church is born. It's just a fantastic thing. And so Paul had a great, deep love for the people here at Philippi. And he's writing to them, and he's sharing his heart and his burdens toward them. And so I hope that you understand that the local church means something. It's a value. We are a value. You are a value to God. It may not seem like, you know, I get a chance to talk to people, you know, about our church. And I like the fact that it's a little church, that it's a small church, if you will. But I also want to see our church to grow. But, you know, and certainly I don't have any aspirations of us becoming some giant mega church, okay? Now, if that's how God chooses to move, then fine. So be it. We'll try to make sure we keep it in mentality a small church, okay? That's what's nice about some big churches. They're like small churches, and I like that. But anyways, but as we move into a new year, this word press impressed upon me, if you will, because it's the very nature of the word. You know how on Wednesday nights I've kind of I don't know if it's a rut or we want to call it, or maybe just a series of time. I've been just intrigued by little words and words that just we need to think about maybe a little more deeply. And this is one of those words that just kind of hit me. This word press. It is a small word, it is a seemingly insignificant word, but yet it carries with it such great action. And as I thought about 2023 and about our local church and not just my desires as a pastor, but my desires as a Christian, I've had conversations recently with people about the end times and things that are seeming to happen in our world today. That everything is just upside down. It is so getting so far to the left. The political and social depravity is just off the charts. I mean, it's coming, folks. it may make some people want to just curl up and hide, or shy away into the background. But maybe it's just my personality, and that certainly might be the case. But I just want to stand out more. And I just want to pursue after more. And I just want to be brighter and more antagonistic, I guess you could call it, in a nice way, than ever before. And that's why, maybe that's why this little word press just got me. I don't know why. Because, folks, I'm not up here going to try to prophesy when Jesus is going to come back. But it could be this year. And I know you've heard preachers say that before. And I'm not going to say they were wrong. Because I'm not setting a date or anything like that. We're not going to, you know, get some Kool-Aid and I'll take off on a ship somewhere and all that stuff. Never mind. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? But you understand that his coming is approaching. We don't know when it's going to be, but now more than ever, we have an opportunity to certainly press toward the mark. We've been equipped to do so. I remember, I've related this illustration to you before, but I said this in Sunday school this morning. I wasn't a big kid. I have a small bone structure. My brother has a large bone structure. He does recently been carrying a little more weight than he's used to, but he's a big kid. I'm not a big kid. My son Ethan is an ox. I've told you all that before. I've affectionately named him. He has a larger bone structure than me. He's going to be stronger and bigger than me, and that's okay. That's great. I'm just not that type. I have that skinny bone structure and such and so forth. So I love the game of football. Okay, I love everything. I like the strategy behind it, all the X's and O's, and just the game. It just intrigues me. I was never big enough to play. I was never athletic enough to play football. They would have killed me out there on the field. I mean, the pads probably weighed more than I did when I was in junior high and high school. So one thing I could do was run. I was a runner. And so I ran track. I ran cross country. We went through all the things. But you know, my coach was trying to do, he was trying to equip me to press toward the mark. This is what I'm trying to say. You understand? That's what football coaches do. That's what drill sergeants do in boot camp. That's what employers do for their workforce. They try to equip people to press toward the mark. There's a goal to be reached. You understand? There's a prize, if you will, to be won. Paul says, hey, church in Philippi, I'm pressing toward the mark. There's a goal to reach. And I want you to reach the same goal. God has equipped us. And he wants us to reach the goal. He wants us to reach the prize. He wants us to reach forth unto the things that are before. Not worrying about the things that are behind. All of that is mentioned here, and we're going to get into that in great detail as we go along. But today, by way of introduction, I simply want to provoke you to think about and to consider your life and you pressing toward the mark. That's why in the graphic on the theme, I included the whole first part of this verse. Because it is individual and it also is collective, but Paul giving his testimony for a purpose to the people in Philippi, he says, I press toward the mark. And as believers in 2023, as we gathered here together, a part of or visiting here at a local church, some of you are visiting, some of you are members, but the point is that we're here, gathered together in one accord, in one place, we must have the mentality, I. At my stage in this life, I'm 45 years old, some of you are older, some of you are younger. Some of you have experienced more, some of you may be toward the end of your life, some of you may be toward the beginning, some of you may be in the middle. But no matter where we are, either as physically in age or spiritually in age, in maturity, we all need to take this personal and have the idea of I press toward the mark. And when I look at this word press, and the definitions of it given in the dictionary, the ones that stuck out to me the most were the words earnest, bear, encroach, push, enforce, urge. These are words that signify the word press. Identify the word press. You understand what great action Paul is recommending as he says to the church, I press. I am earnest. I am pushing with force. I am bearing on with force. I am earnest. I am urging. I am enforcing. I am moving forward. I am pressing toward the mark. And church, in 2023, that needs to be our attitude. Onward, Christian soldiers. We need to be pressing toward the mark. God wants us to press. He doesn't want us to sit back. He doesn't want us to regress. He doesn't want us to slide back and backslide. He doesn't want us just to sit around with our arms folded and just saying, well, this world is terrible. This world is sinful. We can't get anywhere. Our country is dying. It used to be a Christian nation. And now it really no longer is really a Christian nation anymore. Things are getting so liberal. Everything's turned upside down. People are identifying as other things, not just opposite of the physical sex that they have been given by God in their lives. Now they want to be this or that, but some of them are even wanting to be animals or other things, and they're not. This world is crazy. Yes, it is. And it's going to wax worse. And worse. And that doesn't mean we just say, well, God, what are you going to do? No, not well, God, what are you going to do? How about well, church, well, Christian, what are you going to do? It's not time to just sit back and fold our arms and be disgusted, be discouraged, be complacent, be apathetic. But rather, it's a time to press. Press toward the mark. As I thought of this word and just kind of the idea of an introduction, I wanted to bring into focus the one thing that we should be fixed upon. Over in Colossians, I just want to, in chapter 3, I just want to, I'm going to come back to this in about 8 minutes. But I just want you to think about this. He says in verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So as we kind of begin this new year, and as I try to set the tone and encourage you to press, not to lay back, not to sit back, but to press. I just wanted to think about just three quick things about pressing today. First of all, we need to be and to remember what it was like to press to get to Jesus. I know Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. And what he's speaking about there in particular is not resting on the victories of the past. You understand that? He's talking about attaining things. You know where he's coming from in context. I know that because of Christ, we have already attained salvation. But we ought to think back to that moment, what it was like to press to get to Jesus. Now, these three examples in Scripture, the word press is being used in the noun sense of a crowd or a thronging, a crowd, the press. I'm talking about it as Paul talks about it as a verb, to press toward the mark. But these three examples are very indicative of what it should be like for us. Obviously, there's a time where we needed Jesus and we pressed to get him. Don't lose that zeal. Don't lose that drive, because now not is it a press to get to Jesus, but rather a press to get other people to Jesus. But what comes with that is that attitude and that desire and that longing and that aggressiveness that we had when we found out that we were a lost sinner, bound for hell, and we needed a Savior. In Mark chapter 2, it says, "And he entered again into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press." See, there was a thronging, there was a group of people trying to get to Jesus. Do you understand this? "These four, they couldn't bring their friend to the Lord because the press was so great. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" You understand that this happened because some people were willing to press to get to Jesus. Right. Not only for themselves, obviously in this case, but for someone else. What do you have the desire or the will to press to bring someone to Jesus? Who do you have on your mind that you want to bring to Jesus this year? You understand the attitude, the mentality that I'm trying to cultivate here and to bring up in you is we not only have we had the time and experience in our lives where we pressed, we were earnest, we bore and encroached upon it, and we needed to get to the cross because we needed to be saved. That Philippian jailer, he said he ran into the room. And he heard Paul and Silas preaching. He was entrusted with their care as prisoners. And he was about to kill himself, and Paul yelled out, and he had heard them probably singing at midnight and all these things, and all of this was going on, and all these emotions and all these things, and he knew that without this Jesus that he'd heard about, he had no future. He had no life beyond that. And he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now transfer that. Many of you in here that I'm looking at, you've already experienced that in your life. There was a point where you knew you were lost, that you knew you needed Jesus, and you pressed toward the mark. You pressed toward Christ, and you received him as your Savior. That's fantastic. But now I want you to kind of transfer that just a little bit. Who are you pressing to bring to Jesus? What desire do you have? Do you have a desire to encourage, to be earnest about, to push with force, to bear on with force, to urge with earnestness of someone else coming to Christ? Do you have anybody on your mind? Do you have anybody on your heart? Do you have any desire at all to press toward the mark, bringing someone to Jesus? These four had the desire. Did they make it work? Did they make it happen? Did they bear on with force? Yes, they did. And did it happen? Yes, it did. Over in Mark chapter 5. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, a Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her, that he had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." We have two examples here. Jairus, in concern for his daughter, and this woman with the issue of blood, having no other hope. What do they both do? They pressed to get to Jesus. Jairus pressed to get to Jesus for his daughter's sake. This woman had no hope for herself. It was a personal thing for her. Pressed to Jesus to get healing, to be made whole. But in both cases, they had an earnest desire to get to Jesus. You know, sometimes I think that once we have salvation, we just kind of back off a little bit. It's like, "Well, I've got it, so that's it." But that's not it. I've often said if salvation was the end game, then the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, he'd kill you and take you out of here. Why stick around? What would the purpose be if that was the end game? Salvation's not the end game. Salvation's the beginning. It's new life in Christ. Now we have purpose. Now we have a reason to press. Now we have life anew because of Jesus Christ. Remember the wee little man who climbed up in a sycamore tree? He did it because of the press. He couldn't get to Jesus any other way. He couldn't see Jesus any other way. So he did all he could to get to Jesus. As he was up in that tree, Jesus passed that way. And when he came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. What are we doing to press to get people to Jesus? Or maybe you're here today and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Are you earnest about it? Do you want him to save you? Do you have a desire and a knowledge that you are a lost sinner and you need a Savior? How much are you willing to bear with force and to encroach upon the throne of God to receive salvation? Today can be the day of salvation for you. Another thought that I had about this thing about pressing was not only to press to get Jesus or to get others to Jesus, but to press to walk with Jesus, to be with him. You know, it tells us in Scripture that we ought to seek God's face. We ought to seek time with him. In Psalm 27, it says, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. David said in Psalm 63, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. In Psalm 55, it says, As for me, I will call upon God. And the Lord shall save me, evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. You know what I liken that unto? Pressing to be with God. Pressing to walk with Jesus. Pressing to be with him. How much do we engage? How much do we enforce? How much do we bear and push to be with God? Many times it's God's the one that has to press on us to get time with us. Maybe to put us in situations where we have no other choice but to turn to him. When we could do it willingly, on our own accord, because of our own desire. You know, there are a lot of things that press on us to try to get our attention day by day. But how much are we pressing, if you will, toward the mark of being with God? Meeting with him, walking with him, talking with him, reading the Bible, being in fellowship. We sing these great hymns about our time with Jesus and our time with the Lord, and where sweet hour of prayer, if that were really true, would be a fantastic thing. Or the sentiment of I walk in the garden alone, right, with him, and it's so sweet, and all of that fellowship. Boy, if it were really like that, what would our churches be like? What would our lives be like? What would our world be like if we really had the desire to press to walk with the Lord? Remember what Jesus and the encounter that he had in John chapter 6. It says, Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Does this offend you? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. There are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And who should betray him? And said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You understand that in Matthew chapter 4, the disciples, the apostles really, had been, already been in, introduced to the Lord through Andrew and John the Baptist and all that. But at this point in time, they were still fishing. They believed he was the Messiah. Remember what Jesus said when he walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw them casting their nets into the sea? He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This needs to be the attitude of our lives as we press to walk with God. As we press, obviously, hopefully, have already pressed to get to Jesus and also to bring others to Jesus, but to press to walk with him and talk with him and fellowship with him, they straightway left their nets and followed him. What things do we need to straightway leave to walk with Jesus? Folks, there are some things we just need to straightway put down so that we can press toward walking with the Lord. There are so many things to distract us. So many things that are time wasters in this life. And we just need to straightway put them down and press toward walking with the Lord. They immediately left their ship and their father, John and James, the sons of Zebedee, and followed him. We need to press to get to Jesus and get others to Jesus. We need to press to walk with Jesus and then go back to Colossians chapter 3. Or if you're still there, that's fine. Very quickly, because you're listening too slowly. We're out of time today. We need to press to live for Jesus. Know ye not? You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Folks, we're no longer owners of this life. We are managers. We are managers of the life purchased through the very blood of Jesus Christ. And we ought to live for the Lord. And you know what? Because the flesh is so potent, I have printed here Romans chapter 8. You can look at that. I have Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at that for just a second. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You can look at these three particular places in Scripture more in depth, and we may get to it at a later date. But the point of it all is that we need to be the aggressors, to bear with force to live for the Lord. Because this old body, this old flesh, this old carnal nature wants to live for itself. And we've got to mortify it. We've got to put it aside. Frankly, we just got to kill it. And say, no, I am not going to live for myself. I am going to live for the Lord. That's a press. It's something we need to enforce. It's something we need to bear on. We need to push towards in our lives. Because if we don't, you know what's going to happen? The flesh is going to win. If we don't endeavor to walk in the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit and live for God, we will not live for God. We will not walk in the Spirit. We will not, because our flesh is that strong. Do not underestimate your flesh, because it'll get you every time. I remember I spoke about being a runner. One of the things that we were coached to do is to ignore the pain. Get into a rhythm. There's, you know, as you begin to run, or it's this way in any sport or anything, there's this initial adrenaline rush, but then your body tries to tell you it's done, but the coach is there to press you, right? To move forward. And listen, in a 5K race, across country, it's that first part of the race that's so hard to get adjusted to. Once you fall into that rhythm, and then you kind of settle into to the race and you begin to pick up ground and move forward. But then when you get to the end of the race, that was the most critical part, because that's where you got a chance to employ what's called the kick. And that's where you expel every ounce and you press toward that mark. And our coach would just lay on us the importance of that. And just ingrain us, you know, you get into this and the race goes this way, but once you see that finish line, once you see that mark, you leave everything on that racetrack. He said, I don't want you on the bus playing around after we're done. I want you all just dead in your seat. He said, if you're all playing around and goofing off and having a great time, that means you didn't give everything you had. Press to live for the Lord. Did you notice the sentiment back in Colossians 3 here? For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime, when ye lived, past tense, in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God by the Father, and the Father by him. If that doesn't give a sentiment of pressing toward living for Jesus, I don't know what does. So just by way of introduction to the theme of our church for this year, I'd encourage once again anyone, under the sound of my voice, if you're not born again, if you're not sure that if you die today, you go to heaven, press to get Jesus. If you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, then today, press to get someone else to Jesus. Press to walk with Him. And press to live for Him. This 2023.